Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment. Welcome to Lecture Hall 1. And for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is the platform that we discuss about business. It's a platform that we look at what is happening domestically, what is happening internationally, and what is happening in terms of governance, and also in terms of decisions that are made by our political leaders, decisions that are made by our business leaders, decisions that are made by our leaders from the NGO sector, and also local participation in economic activities. This is also a platform that we look at the natural resources that we have. How are the natural resources are utilized? What are the policies in place that, assist in right utilization of Namibian natural resources? What is the gap? And also how we can, get ourselves involved. And I think it's also the right time that some of these discussions are coming at the right time where Namibia is also hosting the third Namibia Oil and Gas conference, which started 2023, where various stakeholders from around the world and also investor gathered at Mekiwa Hotel, where they discuss about issues of economics, issues of perspective on how to use our oil and gas, and also how to invest, and also what are some of the skills which are needed, particularly when it's coming to skills, and also, upgrading of Namibian working force to make sure that they participate in those, areas of, economic advancement. And this is also the platform that, we don't only look at issues of economics, we look at political communication. We look at what are the politicians are saying, what is the relationship between politics and economy. And it's also the platform that we advance the discussion based on the reality on the ground. We analyze policies which are happening. We analyze policies. We look at the effectiveness of these policies. We look at reports. If are they just general reports about certain issues, or do we have some of the practical application of what need to be done, and what lesson have been learned. And when you are at this business and economic segment, we are also not naive enough not to forget about the bigger picture. We are looking at the bigger picture, and we are also looking at the plans that we have. Do we have a record of, bridging that gap between what we plan and also what we do? Or we are going to continue saying completely different things from what we are doing? Or we are finding a way on how to harness, this sector. So that's why we bring about this business and economic segment. That's why we bring about these hard topics, because we believe and we understand that is the only way that, as Namibian, we can have real conversation, and we can also, upgrade those, thought-provoking questions, and also come up with innovative mind. Because mind you, if you are the only person who is saying yes about everything, you will never build anything. And on top of that, you will never ever find a way on how to learn, because you are happy with everything and you don't have a curious mind. Because those who build industries, those who expand, markets, are those with different ways of thinking, are those who ask questions, and are also those, who make sure that not only asking questions, but asking relevant questions, and come up with new ideas to say, why can't we do this? Why can't we do this? Why can't we try this method? Why can't we cooperate with these institutions? And why can't we save our resources this way, so that we can find a way on how to achieve the realities of our goals? So, dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe, and we are here until the hour of 1900 hours. And just before we go to the real conversation for today, what we are going to try to unpack today, it's always very crucial. It's always very crucial to make sure that you follow Eagle FM Namibia at all our social media platforms. Follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, Twitter, and also on LinkedIn, so that you'll be up to date when it's coming to economic matters, when it's coming to issues of business, when it's coming to issues of policy analysis, and also issues of development. That's why we're indicating to you that if you are a student of economics, you're a student of research and development, if you're a student of agriculture economics, you're a student of science, you're a student of innovation, make sure that you follow Eagle FM Namibia at all our social media platform, because that is the only platform that will be able to update you, will give you tips about the future, tips about the current trends, tips about financial statistics, tips about developmental statistics. We look at the trade, the balance. We analyze reports from NSA, government reports. We look at the issues of SOEs. That's why when you are with us, you are in good hands. And when you are with us, you will not really, we will not really lose, because you are working based on the current statistic, pure statistics, and interpreted in the way that you'll be able also to understand, and in the way that you can be able to follow what happened, what going to happen, how it's going to happen, and also the relationship between economic communication and the real situations on the ground. And the other thing is also that, we also have the Villager newspaper. The Villager newspaper is an e-paper which is coming out every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. And if you subscribe to the Villager newspaper, we'll be able to send you the Villager newspaper every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And just subscribe to the Villager newspaper. Like the page, share our page of the Villager newspaper, because that is the only economic paper that will give you economic insight. Insight based on energy sector, insight based on financial statistics, insight based on food security, and also insights based on industrialization and also new trends in the market. And apart from following the Villager newspaper, if you are a business person, you can also market with us. You can market with us, or you can advertise with us, actually. Because with the Villager newspaper, it's not only a place for you to read about economics and trade issues, and the development is also a platform for business. If you have a business that you want to advertise, talk to our marketing team and they will be happy to assist you, and you reach large number of coverage, and it's easier for you, because money spent in advertisement is money to be gained back. So just do that, and market with us and also advertise with us, and it's easier for you that to reach those, large number of, not only followers, but potential customers that you find in Namibia and also outside Namibia. Because when you talk about the digital platform, the digital platform is now unlimited and is working parallel with globalization. The more we advance, the more the world is becoming a village. And when you advertise with us, you reach a large number of people, not only in Namibia, but also outside. That make it an advantage for you, and you will not do this door-to-door advertisement anymore, because with us, you are covered. So contact our marketing team, then you will be able to get access to the page in the Villager newspaper. Yes, apart from the Villager newspaper, we have Eagle FM app. We are always having, there are always those who are asking questions to say, no, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? Why are we not able to be connected to you? And all those questions, the questions are very relevant. But what we are indicating to you is that in this regard, in a situation that the frequency is not reaching you, you don't need to keep on scratching your head or keep on saying, no, why are you guys not doing that? We are indicating to you that we found a better and a great way of connecting with you. That is indeed by making sure that, you download Eagle FM app. And when you download Eagle FM app, you make your life more easier. You make your life more easier when you download Eagle FM app, because you will be able to listen to the programs which, when you download Eagle FM, just go to Play Store, go to App Store, download Eagle FM app. Then you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air. And on top of that, you can also be able to listen to the previous program by looking at our podcast. And doing that, you will not miss out, because we have an open archive. We have open archive in the context that, when you have an open archive, life is more easier. And you can listen to the podcast at your own time, at your own pace. And the other thing also is that we have Imba app. Imba app is a digital version of accessing the hymn book, because in a world of advancement, in a world of digitalization, in a situation that you do not have a hard copy hymn book, you don't need to worry about anything. You don't need to worry about anything. Either you are a pastor, you are a church leader, you are called to attend a graduation party, a birthday, a wedding, an unfortunate life event such as a funeral, somebody, a person. You don't need to scratch your head because you have access to Imba App. And when you have access to Imba App, you make your life more easier. You make your life more easier. And it's easier for you to access, the digital version of a hymn book. So if you are an Oshiwambo speaker, you get your Ehangano. And you can also be able to get... you can be able to get your app. If you're a Oshiwambo speaker, that you can get access to Ehangano. You can also access to Maimburiro Maimburiro, that is Cherero. And you can also be able to have access to Afrikaans hymn book, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So, dear listeners, the conversation for today, we are going to ask critical questions. We are going to ask critical questions, especially regarding where we are going as a country, where we are coming from, and also what are the numbers saying. Because, it's one thing to have good plans, and it's other thing also to have the reality on the ground. What are the reports saying about the economy of Namibia? And how can we move forward? And we are also going to touch a little bit on the area of, oil and gas, conference, because, there's an ongoing oil and gas conference, as I have indicated earlier. But today we are going to talk about what is the relationship between good Namibian ambitions and the result of Namibia economic focus. Because, you can have very good, beautiful, good, ambitions that Namibia has. But when it's coming to the economic focus of Namibia, you are asking yourself this question to say, where are we going? Where are we going? Because today we are going to look at where are we going? Are we moving surely at the right direction where we are going? Or we are just saying one thing and the other thing we are doing exactly the opposite of what we are supposed to do. Now, number one is the NDP 6. We have National Development Plan number 6, which is very ambitious, very clear, and it has set goals and targets, which has center of young people at its pronunciation, and also a little bit of pronunciation of integrating, first development agenda, and more at the center of it, Swapo Party Manifesto, which is looking, or it sounds and is written as it's going to solve all our problems. But the reality on the ground is that it's not a new thing. Namibia is not a new thing that we have better plans than what we have today. It's what we make out of it. Now, how are we going to navigate through this, area? How are we going to navigate through this area? What is the relationship between what is being said and what is, what economy is doing? Now, before we go there, I want you to listen to a recent update, particularly when it's regarding Namibia domestic economic outlook of August. Where is the country going in terms of, economic outlook of August? And what can we do as a country? And how can we mitigate these factors? Is our economy moving forward or our economy is going down? And when it's going down, what are the measures that we are going to put in place in order for us to make sure that we counter those setbacks, and we also looking ahead with our developmental plans? Because mind you, it's not only what's happening in our domestic economy, it's also what's happening around us. It's also what is happening around us. It's also what is happening with our trading partners. And it's also what we are doing in terms of the skills that we have and the problem that we have also on the ground. That's why today we are going to look at is what we are saying going to be successful against what the numbers are saying? Because if you are saying you are driving from Windhoek to Chivarongo, You are driving from Vinduku Chivarongo. That is your plane to go to Vinduku Chivarongo. The car that you have, it has good tires, but there are unforeseen circumstances that will come on your way. You do not know that there are 20 kudus which are running between Okahanja and Chivarongo. There are 20 kudus there, and there is a roadblock, and there are also kids playing around. But you want to reach there within, let me say, roughly 1 hour. You are driving, for example, an Audi SR8, for example. But you don't know about those circumstances. But the question is that, is the time and our economy on our side? Because remember, in every history of civilization, there is a state transformation. There's a state transformation. And there is also what we call, civilization based on your humans on the ground, or based on citizens on the ground. But if what has been said for the past 35 years continue to happen, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be as it has been, because remember, we have good clear plans. We have good clear plans, and we are affected by COVID. We had good clear plans. We are affected by drought. We have good clear plans. Now, the economy is not doing very well. Now, what is Bank of Namibia, that is our central bank, saying about the economy outlook of August 2025 and the whole of 2025, and how are we going to navigate that? And before that, let us listen to the communique from Bank of Namibia of August economic outlook. Yeah, let us look at the communique from BON.
Bank of Namibia released the economic outlook for August 2025. The domestic economy is estimated to expand marginally by 3.5% in 2025 and by 3.9% in 2026. Namibia's economic growth is projected to decelerate in 2025 before regaining momentum in 2026. Real GDP growth is expected to moderate to 3.5% in 2025, slightly below the 3.7% for 2024. The deceleration is mainly attributed to a contraction in primary industries, particularly the livestock subsector, stemming from reduced herd sizes, which continues to be impacted by the drought conditions experienced in 2024. Additionally, the diamond mining sector is expected to continue its declining path, reflecting weaker global demand coupled with headwinds from the imposition of trade tariffs and rising competition from lab-grown alternatives. The manufacturing sector is also set to weigh negatively on growth, with notable contractions anticipated in meat processing and basic non-ferrous metals. Growth is, however, estimated to recover to 3.9% in 2026, supported by a rebound in agriculture, continued strength in construction, and improved output in uranium and metal ores. The latest growth projections for 2025 and 2026 have been revised downward by 0.3 and 0.1 percentage points, respectively, compared to estimates in the April 2025 Economic Outlook Update.
Yes. Yeah, that is a short brief of Bank of Namibia economic outlook. In simple terms, it states that in 2025, the state of Namibia economy is projected to decrease, before it gaining pace in 2026. That is what it's saying in real, in simple terms. It meaning that our economy is not growing, this year, as compared to what's happening in 2024. And the real GDP growth is expected to be at 3.5%, which is below 3.7% of 2024. Look, in 2024, we had drought. However, we were at 3.7%. In 2025, we do not have drought. We have good rain. But because of global changes, unforeseen circumstances that we do not have control over, then, we are below 3.7%. That is, it tells you to say you can have your good plans, but you cannot dictate. You can't dictate what will happen to you. You can't dictate how America is going to react on you. You can have very good plans, but you cannot dictate how you are going to be treated by the big boys of international politics. You can have good plans, but you cannot dictate about drought and all those things. That's why that is exactly what's happening. And remember, it's also indicated to say, no, some of the primary industries which, cause some, challenges to our economy is a livestock sector. It's a livestock subsector. Just continue to cause a decline in the economy. They are indicating that it's affected by, 2024 drought. But the question that we need to ask yourself is also that it's also affected by the way we deal with, livestock sector. Look at the issue of red line, for example. It's a debatable topic. It's a debate that is not even brought to the conclusion. The judiciary system is saying about this. The politicians are saying about this. Those are some of the debates that we need to be put on the table. But this is what is happening. What's the reality on the ground? And the other thing, apart from drought also, there are hundreds of livestock being missed. The issue of Midco. Even the acting CEO is fired. You understand what I'm saying? So we are indicating to you that, we can have very good plans, but our house is still not yet in order. The house that we are living in is still not yet in order. That's why we need to make a critical assessment on what is happening, how we can move forward. We spoke of these issues for a very long time. We have been speaking about this issue of, for example, the mining sector. Namibia has been one of the best producers of, diamonds with Botswana and also South Africa, particularly in Southern Africa. But the economy is not waiting for you because there is always new innovation. You can't dictate whether you're going to have smart AI than what we have. That's why one of the things which was mentioned in this, and I like the economic outlook, the way they put it, but the way they're explaining to you, they are explaining to you in beautiful words that you think things will remain good, but they will come to you to say, no, this is what we have projected even. There's no surprise. So how can we deal with these issues? And the other thing also, what is mainly contributed to this, number one is a decline in the demand of diamond. Nobody thought the diamond would come out of the system. Nobody thought about diamond losing value, diamond not being a needed product anymore. But what were we waiting for? We have been waiting for, exporting raw materials. We've been exporting fresh diamonds. No value addition until we come to the point diamonds are now useless. The world has moved on. And nobody thought about this. Now people market prefer lab-grown diamond. There are diamonds which are made in the lab, having same quality as this one, which are natural diamonds. That's why when you're coming to the diamond sector, the economic outlook is saying this sector will continue to decline due to no business people, industries are no more interested in fresh diamond. They're interested in lab grown diamond. And what have you been doing? Just selling raw materials, no value addition, no new products. And we continue to talk about mineral beneficiation. Now imagine you are losing on the sale of diamonds, and you are also losing on negotiation in terms of percentage. You are losing. But so had we knew about what would happen, particularly this time, we could have negotiated our deals already at the first place to say, let's come and sit on the table like Botswana government have done with the beers. To say, no, chief, let us sit on the table. There's no way our government have lower than 50% in this thing. Let's come on the table. Let us reevaluate ourselves and see what we can do. Now, this could save us, and it can still save us if we go and renegotiate about the stakes in our own mineral resources, not undermining the foreign investor and also the foreign companies which have expertise and machines in how to run these industries. Yeah, because if you look at the African Governance Report of 2020, of 2025 on the management of natural resources, one of the recommendations in that report is that African countries must renegotiate their dividends and stakes, particularly in their natural resources, and the deals which were done during colonialism must be, you know, dealt with. And that is the only way that Africa will realize it's a continental free trade area. It's Agenda 2060. It's not me who making up these things. Go and look at the latest report of African peer review mechanism, particularly when it's coming to the governance and management of natural resources in Africa. If you go and, read this report, you'll be able to understand to say there's a lot of things that we need to do. You know what happened when the minister pronounced that we need to renegotiate these things? People who were supposed to save you are also coming to say, no, it's not practically possible. Yeah, that's why, my friend, there's a very long way to go. Because what is being said and what is on the ground is not, they are not the same thing. Yeah, that's why we need to find a way, especially when you are coming to deal with the economy. Because the economy is more about the numbers and the scarcity of natural resources, how they are distributed. But if we come to that point that you understand the necessity of that, when you come to that point that we are able to sit down and see and say, this is not what we expect at all, and this is what we need to renegotiate, then we'll be able to move forward. But if things continue to be business as usual, what I'm telling you today is that we'll continue to have this conversation in 2030 again about, you know, let us discuss. Do you know that in South Africa, there is this thing called national dialogue. People want to sit down and also with government and stakeholders to discuss about, again, issues that they are facing South Africa so that they can try to assess them. Then you are just asking yourself, Africa, what have we done, Africa? So those are some of the things that we need to look at. And I'm not scaring you. Apart from the declining in diamond demand, it's also the issues of tariffs and this, you know, lab-grown diamond, which I have indicated earlier. But there are predictions to say the outlook has projected the economy to recover to 3.9 in 2026, supported by a rebound in agriculture, continuous strengthening in construction, and improved output of uranium metals. You know, when we discuss this thing, we are going to continue moving in a circle, because if we are still going to predict to say the economy is going to grow, which is a positive thing, particularly when it's coming to the rebound in agriculture, those are some of the prediction. But who said the global stability is going to be how it has been? The solution to this thing has already been put there on the table for the past 35 years to say we need to rework on our economic game plan. That was it. We need to rework on our economic game plan. We need to rework on our mining, act and our mining framework. And we need to make sure that when it's coming to business, when it's coming to the way we deal with our natural resources, we must own our natural resources without undermining those who are working with us, particularly when it's coming to practical implementation of, national plans. Because it's not useful at all if we are just to continue to say raw materials. And we have been talking about this thing, And my dear friend, it will take us many years to reach our conclusion. And it's only when we stop this thing of too many conversations without really doing anything. Now, when we speak about, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today, we are looking at the relationship between what we plan. We are looking at the relationship between what we plan and what is the reality on the ground. What are the economic statistics saying? What are the economic statistics saying about what the reality on the ground, and also the issue of, our good and beautiful ambitions? Because up to now, let me tell you, up to now, as we are speaking, there is no yet tangible differentiation factor between the previous administration in the current administration. You can argue with me. There is no tangible. I'm not talking about abstract views and documents. Up to now, as you are speaking now, yes, it's too early to judge. But it's also too late to be sleeping. Because the reason we are having this discussion, we are not anti-national development. We just want to be clear on the table to say, what can we do moving forward from here? What can we do moving forward from here? As we are speaking currently now in Namibia, you can argue with me, there is no differentiation factor which differentiate the differentiation factor, which is tangible, between the previous administration of our late Genkop and also assisted by our former President Bumba administration with the current administration. There is no differentiation factor. We are still in the same pace. And it's just change of guards which came in, and also new policy and new trimming of government. But we still want to see tangibility in terms of either regional development, national development at large, at least a reduction in terms of youth challenges. And also, very importantly, the issue of coordination between institutions, particularly academia. So up to now, we don't have that. That's why today we are looking at, Bank of Namibia economic outlook, which predicted that in 2020, it says the numbers are saying our economic growth is less than, is growing less than how it has been in 2024. And the diamond sector is continuing to decline. And you may want to ask questions to say, how can we solve these issues? Now, let us leave the area of economic outlook. Let us look at oil and gas. I was fortunate enough today to attend oil and gas summit. I was very fortunate to attend oil and gas summit. And I met the brilliant speakers there, very brilliant speakers, and experts from Nigeria, from Angola, from Kenya, from South Africa, experts in oil and gas, business people. And one of the discussion, the center of the discussion, is local content. How can we bring local content in the industry of oil and gas? And one of the speaker who spoke boldly, but at a necessary moment, spoke boldly about what need to be done in order to make sure that when it's coming to national development, when it's coming to this thing of oil and gas, oil is a blessing and a curse in many countries. Look at Iraq, where Iraq is. Look at Iran. Look at the Middle East. Look at countries like Nigeria. You can name it. Look at Angola. What lesson have we learned from there? And there were a lot of, great speakers, especially those who are in that oil and gas sector, who indicated that. One of them is a deputy country manager for Rhino Resource Namibia, that is Dakolo Haindua, who indicated that the challenges in oil and gas are known. And he was talking to the platform. He was talking to the platform. He was talking to this conference and indicated that, guys, this is now the time for us to discuss about these issues. One of the issues is, how can our youth sit on this table of oil and gas? How can our youth sit on this highly, demanding, industry, which is a highly specialized industry? Are we going to see our youth just to be used as just part of, a facade? Are they just going to be used as part of a facade for people to make their deals, or they are going to participate really in this main conversation? And he looked at also, as he said, no, when you look at what the government is saying about NDP sticks and about young people who are at the center of this national development because they are faced with challenges, high rate of unemployment, he echoed the same sentiment to say, how can our youth become part of oil and gas industry? And he asked a very critical question, rather to say, look, are we going to see the repetition of a competition of tenderpreneurs? Or are we going to see real beneficiation of young people and also SMEs from this area? Because there's a question which I like to ask, say, are we just going to be, you know, assistant in our, or hand hunger? We used to call it hand hunger. I don't know the right way of putting it in Afrikaans, but the content of the matter is that, are we going to be just assistant in our main industry, or are we going to be at the center of those industries? And indeed, you listen to him when I got into the conversation with him, because one of the things that he mentioned is that, you know, we must be very clear. We must be very clear, especially when it's coming to information dissemination. And he said there's no clear information, especially when it's coming to oil and gas industry. There is a need for clarification in terms of, you know, information dissemination, particularly in the area of oil and gas. And that is exactly what he indicated. And it's also very crucial. One of the things that he mentioned is also that young people must also be equipped with skills that can allow them to partake in this sector. Because going to that conference, I realized to say a lot of these people who came in, they came to network, but you see these are bigger institutions, bigger organizations, which have been already operating in Nigeria, been already operating in Angola, been already operating outside, you know, Africa. And they are talking about, no, we want to help Namibia and all these things. Yes, it's good you want to help Namibia, but are you really genuine in heart? Because a business person, particularly in the area of corporate, in the area of oil and gas, and also in the area of mining, you know, they are very good at presentation, but very tough in the boardroom. They are very good at presentation, can market the very best product, you see, can give you all the hangs and also give you maybe already an offer the next day, but very difficult at negotiating. Hard-headed, hardcore. Countries are being brought, and these are things that we don't talk, countries are being brought down to their knees by multinational corporations, particularly when it's coming to negotiations about natural resources. You can be brought down to 15, 10%, from 80% to 10%. And these are things that we do not talk about. And one of the ladies, a very beautiful lady from Nigeria, asked questions to say, you spoke to us, you are multinational corporations, you are in engineering construction of offshore, industries and all these things. But the question that we are asking is that, what are some of the negative stories that you have? Because you are only sharing with us good experience. What are some of the negative stories that we have to ask? Because that is the only way that we can learn. That is the only way that we can learn. So I think it's very crucial at this point in time to listen to what Dakolo Haindua has to say, who is a deputy country manager for Rhino Resource Namibia. And it's very crucial to listen to what he has to say. Yes, Eagle FM listeners, as I've indicated earlier, Namibia is hosting the third, oil and gas conference, and that is to discuss about, you know, issues related to oil and gas, looking at what are some of the challenges, what are some of the opportunities which brought different industrial leaders. However, got into the conversation, you know, with Deputy Country Manager for Rhino Resources Namibia, that is Mr. Ndakolo Haindua, just to help us unpack these issues, particularly regarding the development in oil and gas sector, and also the expected outcome of, you know, this oil and gas conference. Mr. Ndakolo, good evening, and welcome to Business and Economic Segment. How are you doing, sir?
Very well. How are you, Davidson?
No,
I'm
doing very well. Yeah, thank you for joining us at Business and Economics segment. Let's start with what the expected outcome, especially from this oil and gas conference, because Namibia is one of those fortunate countries which discovered oil. And also, some people are talking about oil as a blessing, some are talking about oil as a curse, but seeing today different industrial leaders coming on board, academia, and also government sectors, and also some of the young people, what are the main expected outcome from this, conference?
Yeah, thank you again, Davidson. I think for myself, the primary outcome is to really just foster an environment for engagement, for different engagement.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is networking.
Okay.
So, yeah, it brings together people from all walks of life to just network and share their experiences and have those conversations. Randall Resources is partnered up with the conference this year in their masterclass strategically with the aim to really help people reflect and maybe map out and strategize on how to embark on this journey that we have at hand. So and what I mean by that really is just to really have difficult conversations. What does it mean to get involved in the oil and gas? What do I need to do? What do I need to know? And also some of the things that have the gaps in the areas which are being bridged by this conference is also disseminating that information between the people that know and really doing away with whatever fallacy there is to making sure that we know and we are realistic about what we need to do and what is really happening. It is very important, and it's very important that we manage expectations because most of us, we just with a broad or a very naive overview of what is happening, or we think, okay, oil and gas, therefore it is time for everybody to eat.
It is
not the case.
Yeah. Look, Mr. Ndakoro, who gave a very, very strong, a very strong presentation there, especially when you talk about, involvement of young people and SMEs. A lot of resources, you come into Namibia, we see in the mining sector, where people are talking about involvement of local people. But when you are asking questions like, who are these people that are involved, then you get a picture that is only a few of them. Now, looking at now this this situation of oil and gas, how should we make sure that young people of Namibia should not just be used to get public attention, but to practically, engage in the sector and also benefit from that area?
Yeah, I think the last point there is more on legislation. So if there is a matrix in which maybe government can measure companies on how they are implementing, so maybe there's a trainee, they can put out, they can measure, have the trainee come in and give a presentation to say, okay, after the last 6 months you are attached to this company, what have you learned? How have you grown? That is one thing. But we have to be cognizant of the fact that this is a highly specialized industry. You need a lot of certification to be able to operate in this industry because it's highly hazardous and it's very, very dangerous. So you cannot just bring anybody to participate in this thing.
Looking at the where we are, because there have been a lot of questions, and especially in the public also, especially regarding the coordination of our institution. You are in that area. I know you are an engineer, if I'm not mistaken, and you are in that area. You understand oil and gas. Looking at, I don't want to ask about policy framework. I just want to see, do we have a coordination between academia, private sector, and also public sector? Are these institutions coordinating, especially to realize this goal of having oil and gas, which is benefiting our people?
There is not enough.
Yeah,
not enough. There's still a lot of information dissemination that is needed. There's still a lot of false information that is put out there. And I'm sorry to also paint you part of it, but a lot of media houses are not giving accurate information. But there is serious need for stakeholder engagement, teaching people what this thing is and how it works and so on. Yes.
Yeah. Let us look at especially when it's coming to information dissemination. You know, they are a bit of you know. I think one of the presenters today is also indicated it's oil and gas and also the area of you know, mining. There is a bit of secretive information, especially how things are being done. What do you think need to be done? You spoke about media. You spoke about those who are responsible for information dissemination. What do you really think need to be done to make sure that information is clear on, and also everybody understand what is happening, especially in the oil and gas industry?
I think public sector and private sector needs to partner. That's one for stakeholder engagement. But primarily, we want to go through educational institutions. So we're talking about high schools, we're talking about universities or other tertiary educations, just to give people the primary understanding of what this thing is. There is no secret to it. I think it's just more about one maybe being vulnerable and the other one trying to take advantage thereof, or the one realizing that he's too vulnerable in sharing his information and therefore is going to hold back a bit. But there is really need for collaboration. They need to really engage one another on a very healthy platform and work together to realize a very successful industry, because if these things can be a curse or it can be a blessing, and we are all responsible in making sure that this thing is a blessing. But also the other thing that I want you to note is that, and this is a very basic principle that is even written in the Bible, to say that a inheritance received too early can be a curse.
It's true. It's true.
Yes. So while everything is still ongoing, but the best thing that we can do is really to engage one another and to make sure that we are.
One of the presenters who
maybe the last one, Jonathan, because I need to leave.
No, it's the last one. Okay. Let's talk about R&D, research and development. You know, one of the presenters by the name Felix Ogbe, I think, is from Nigeria. He indicated that we need to invest more in research and development. But what is your view on that? What is your view on that, particularly when it's coming to invest in research and development for oil and gas industry?
I think these things can be done in-house. I think supplemented by external expertise. Sorry, let me just start that over. So firstly, it is very important.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very important. In fact, it's paramount for us to understand what it is that we have in our own backyard.
Yeah.
I believe R&D should be led by Namibians, should be driven by Namibians with the help of expertise. We do have the guys, operators in service companies that are here, and they can help us in this regard, but it is paramount that we engage in R&D. Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Ndakolo, and thank you very much for your time and input.
You are most welcome.
All right. Yes, you listen yourself. But in this regard, story is very crucial. Story is very crucial, especially to thank our dear listeners. Thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic segment. And you must continue listening to our program. And today we are trying to unpack particularly the relationship between, what is being put on the plane and also what is being on the ground. What is the relationship between the good plane that you have and the environment that you're operating in? And the reason of us having this discussion is for us to rethink about the real practicality of what will happen in terms of national development. What is the economy saying? What are the statistics saying? What is the relationship between those who have data and also those who are making decisions? And what are the advice that are given to our political leaders and also to our industrial industry, because it's always very crucial. It's always very crucial, especially when we have a clear, good understanding between industrial players and also academicians and government. And that's the only way that we are going to solve the problems that we have, because we are talking about our economic outlook not looking so good, but nobody can see about these things. We are still continuing to preach about a lot of changes which will come, and until to the point that we are going to have a differentiation factor between what have been done and what is being done now, then we'll be able to understand that we are going somewhere. But if you continue to speak about good words, if you continue to communicate politically without tangible outcome, people who continue to suffer, and it's not going to be right and correct. So that's why we are always encouraging dear listeners and also thinkers and researchers to make sure that we get access to this data and we advise ourselves how we do things, what need to be done, and what is the situation of our young people on the ground. So thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment. And from me, David Shombe, thank you and bye-bye.